My name is Alan Morse, and we're going to be talking today about a subject that no one wants to talk about, but everybody has to face. Everybody has to face death, and we're going to talk about death. Talk about death as believers. We're going to talk about death in heaven. I think it's tremendously important that we know these things, because we're all going to face it if we weren't lucky enough to be in a rapture. We don't know when that's going to come. We hope it's going to come in our time, but we don't know. Paul thought it was going to happen in his time, but obviously it didn't. And we're continuing to look forward to that as the Lord to come. But if he doesn't, we're going to face physical death. And we've got to know all about this so that we can be joyful about it. We don't have to worry about it because God has it total under control. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's turn in our Bibles. And let's look at verses 6. It says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. It's obviously while we're still alive on this earth, we're absent from being with the Lord. Then verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You see, the second that these old bodies die, and we're only one breath away from it, one breath away from death, the second we quit breathing, we're going to be present with the Lord. How wonderful that's going to be. It's going to be beyond our imagination. You see, the human being is made to never die. Sure, the body is going to die. It's old and wore out. But the part of us that means something, our souls and our spirit, our thinking, our loving, our caring, our nurturing, everything that we do is for eternal. And it's going to spend eternity with the Lord if we believe the gospel. If we believe the gospel. Let's look at turn to Philippians. Philippians, turn to the right. 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verses 21. Read this. It says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, for him to live on this earth, he's going to follow Christ. You see, when we believe the gospel, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is what leads us. But when we die, it's still going to be gain, tremendous gain, when we go to be with the Lord. It says, but, verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. For I am in the strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. See, Paul wasn't scared about dying. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And he could strike these words, it is far better. Our death for us to die is far better than for us to live. There's no ifs and buts about that. While we're in Philippians, just turn over to chapter 3 and look at verses 20. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly bodies that it may be fashioned like his glorious body. Think about that. We're going to have a new body that's going to be like, going to be fashioned like Christ's glorious body. Excuse me. Think about that. Now, where do we find this? You remember when Jesus rose from the dead? You know, when he came out of that grave, and then Mary was looking for him, and he looked over there, and she saw a man over there and thought it was the groundskeeper. And he went over to her and talked to him and said, have you seen our Lord? Have you seen the Lord? Do you know where they laid him? Because she found the grave empty. And she didn't recognize him, not until she spoke to her. She'd been with him for years, And 3 days was gone, and she didn't recognize him. Why? He was in his glorious body. It was resembled the body he had before, but it wasn't the same. And ours will resemble us. There's no doubt about that. But it's not going to be the same, and I'm glad it's not. Because I don't want to take this old body to heaven. I mean, my body's a mess. And when you get old, that happens. That's just part of life. But look what he had. You know, even when he went to see the disciples, all of a sudden he showed up in the upper room, and they were terrified. They were terrified. They didn't recognize him. But until he showed him his hands, you know, and showed him the scar on his side and his feet. And he talked to them, and they finally understood who he was. And then all of a sudden he was gone. We'll be like that. We can move like Christ moved, just one place and then the next. We won't need a plane or a train or a car. We'll just think that we'll be there just like Jesus did. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at verses 13. I got to do 13. We're going to 14, but I got to do 13. It's my favorite. It says, "In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth." What's the word of truth? And it says, the gospel. The gospel of what? Of your salvation. In whom, after you believed what? The gospel of your salvation. What happened? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now here's the kicker. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You only get that when you believe the gospel. You don't get the Holy Spirit unless you believe the gospel. But what is that Holy Spirit for? Well, many things, but here's one thing it's for. Who is the earnest of our inheritance. He's a down payment of our inheritances until the redemption of the purchase possession. We're the purchase possession. And we're redeemed by Christ's blood on that cross. He died on that cross. And we're redeemed. And it's a down payment for our inheritance. We have a tremendous inheritance in heaven. And we just can't forget that. And this is the down payment for our inheritance. Just turn to Romans chapter 8. Back to the left. To Romans chapter 8. And look what else this is. This happens to us when we get that Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verses 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and it does, we believe the gospel, and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, He's telling us that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us today. And that same Spirit will raise us from the dead, our mortal bodies. You see, we have nothing to worry about. We're going to have soul and spirits going to be with the Lord, and eventually we're going to get our new bodies, and they're going to be just like the Lord's glorious body. How wonderful. And then look at verses 16 while we're here on 8. It says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, we are heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? This is what's going to happen when we go to heaven. We're going to be heirs. We're going to be actually children of God. And we're going to be heirs of God. And we're going to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, it talks about Jesus Christ, that He was the creator of the universe. He was the creator of this world. And He was everything in this world was created by Him and for Him. And we're joint heirs with Him. Think about that. That's what we'll be looking forward to when we get to heaven. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Matthew. Back to Matthew. Back to the left. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. And let's look at verses 32. This is, mine's a red letter edition. If yours is, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not God of the dead, but the living. You see, all these people we're talking about here, they had been dead for 1,000 years plus. But as far as God is concerned, He's not the God of the dead. they're living, and they were living. They were living. They were in paradise at that time. But when Christ died on that cross, he paid for the sins for not only us, but for them. And he was able to take them to heaven, because no one could get to heaven until he paid the price on that cross. No one. That's why it's our salvation. No one could be saved until Christ died on that cross. And that's why we look to the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. And that's what Paul preached for salvation for the church. You believe that, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'll always be with the Lord. Isn't wonderful? Isn't wonderful? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. Go back to Paul's epistles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then we get to Acts, and we get to Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then we go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I like this verse. This is neat. This is the rapture. We're going to look at verses 14. Look what it says. Look what it says. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again." What's that? That's the gospel. If we believe that, then we're going to be involved in the rapture. It says, if we believe it, even so then, those that are asleep, those that are dead already, in Jesus, and Jesus will bring with him. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. For the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up and together with them in the clouds, and meet the Lord in the air. And so we ever to be with the Lord." We'll ever be with the Lord. We'll be caught up and we'll ever be with the Lord. People say, "Well, what are we going to be? Do where are we going to be in heaven? Are we going to be on heaven? Are we going to be on earth? Where are we going to be?" And where the Lord is, where's the body? I believe no doubt whatsoever when he comes back on this earth, we will reign on this earth, we will reign with him. There's no doubt in my mind. We'll be with him. We'll be wherever he's at. Just look at, while we're here, just look at chapter 5. And just look at verse 9. It says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath." You see, people say we're going to tribulation. No, we're not. He's going to take us home first. He said, we're not appointed to the wrath of God. We're his body. "But to obtain salvation by how? By our Lord Jesus Christ." What did he do? Who died for us. What is that? That's the gospel. That whether we are awake or asleep, we shall live together with him. Kind of neat, isn't it? We're going to always, always be with the Lord. This is just truly wonderful. We'll always be with the Lord. Let's turn to Revelation. This is the last chapter of the Bible, and look at a book in the Bible, and let's look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, and let's look at verses 14. Verses 14. It says here, it says, "And the army that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Who do you think those armies are? Yes, where are his armies? You see, when this has happened is when he goes back to rule and reign on this earth. And he'll come back. This is after the tribulation. And that's, we have already been raptured out or resurrected. All believers have gone to heaven. And during the time we're in heaven, tribulation for 7 years is going on this earth. And then when God comes back, when Jesus comes back, he's going to take us with him. And to this new heavens and new earth is going to be totally regenerated. And we're going to live on this earth with the Lord. And we'll rule and reign with him for that 1,000 years. It's just wonderful. There's no ifs and buts about it. We're going to be with the Lord everywhere he goes. Let's look at Let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Go back to 2 Timothy. Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and then 1 Timothy, and then 2 Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 10. This is really, really a neat verse, and I really, really like it. It says, verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. How do you do it? Through the gospel. It didn't say through taking Jesus as your Savior, did it? It didn't say through by taking Jesus in your heart. It's through the gospel. Because you see, He did away with death for us. Because we would have been died and gone to hell, an eternal hell, if He hadn't died on that cross and paid for our sins. He did it all. There's nothing that we did to deserve heaven. But He died on that cross, and all He asks us to do is to believe it. Look, read this again. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. We don't have to worry about death. He's abolished it. Totally did away with it for us. We're going to, as soon as we die, the second we die, we're going to be in heaven, our soul and spirit. Perfect. And we're going to talk about that here real soon. That soul and spirit isn't just a blob floating around out in eternity. No, sir. It's sure not. And He had brought life and immortality to light through His gospel, or through His death on that cross, and His burial and His resurrection. Just if boy, people don't understand this, I don't know how they're going to understand it. It's just God lays it out so simple for each and every one of us. It's just beyond our imagination. And while let's look at 2:11, chapter 2, verses 11. Yes, it says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him." If we die with Him, and that is believing the gospel, we will also live with Him. Does it say that we're not going to be with Him? It's always with Him. We'll always be with the Lord. How wonderful! I mean, no matter what happens, we're going to be with Him. And that it's really, really wonderful. Now let's turn to Luke 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke 16. Luke chapter 16. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, I'm not going to read it. It's quite long, but I'm going to tell it to you. I'm just going to tell you this story. There was a rich man, and he was tremendously rich, and he lived in great splendor. And then there was this poor man, Lazarus. He was just in horrible shape. He was very sickly, and he was hungry all the time. He was a beggar. And then Lazarus died. And his body was buried, and his soul and his spirit went to paradise. And it said that he was there with Abraham. The rich man finally died, and he went to hell. At that time, paradise and hell was in the center of the world today. Our world today, it was in the center. And there was a cavern between the two. A big void between the two that they couldn't, but they could see each other. And the rich man was in hell, and he was looked over and he saw Lazarus and Abraham in paradise. And there he was burning up in hell and was in horrible torment. And he looked over there and he said, "Abraham, would you please send Lazarus and have him put his finger in some water and come and touch my tongue, because I grieve so bad, I was in such torment." And Abraham talked to him and said, "No, I can't do that. There's this big void in between, or a chasm, or whatever it may be, between the two of us, and we can't go back and forth." And the rich man was so distraught. He said, well, would you please send Lazarus back to the earth and to that he would go and see my brothers so that they wouldn't come here? Because I don't want them to come to this horrible place. And Abraham said, I can't do that. He said, they have the scriptures. But he said, they won't understand. They don't care. What do we get out of this? You see, Lazarus and the rich man both were buried, and their souls and spirits. Lazarus went to paradise, and the rich man, he went to hell. And that was the center of the earth. These are their souls and spirits we're talking about. And these souls and spirits were talking back and forth. They could see, they could talk, they could feel. They could do anything. They had a finger to put in his mouth. I think that we're going to have a spiritual body. There's no doubt in my mind it's going to be a soul, and our soul, and we're going to have a spiritual body. I think our spiritual bodies, when we die, will be better than what we have now by a long shot. And they're not going to be as good as our glorified body when at the resurrection. There's no doubt about that. But it's going to be, we're going to be a long ways from not being active in heaven. We're going to be fair, because now, you see, there's no paradise. You see, when Jesus died on that cross, he went down to paradise for all the people who had died up to the cross that were believers. They all went to paradise because the sins hadn't been paid for yet. But when Jesus paid for those sins on the cross, he went down there and told them he did and took them out of paradise and took them to heaven. So the day when a person dies, he goes directly to heaven, or he goes directly to hell. But we go to heaven now, we don't go to paradise. Let's look at John chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, right here close. We'll look at John. John chapter 14. And let's look what Jesus says about heaven. He says, John chapter 14, verses 1, he says, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And he says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, we have a home in heaven. We have a mansion in heaven. You know, my wife and I, we drove around in Lawrence in a real rich district where these homes were built, to multi-million dollar homes. And we just drove by one after one after one after one, you know. And I looked at Patsy and she said, you going to build me one of those? I said, no, it won't happen. But I said, we're going to have a home that will make those houses look like an outhouse someday. And I truly believe that. I truly believe that what God has in store for us, we can't even comprehend. We don't have a clue. It's beyond our imagination. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. If I died this second, I'd never know it. You'd know it. And if the people around me would know it, they'd say, well, he's dead. We're going to have to bury him. We'll have a funeral. And we'll bury him. But I won't know it. Oh, I know that I'm not in my body anymore. But I won't be any more dead. I think I'll be 1,000 times more alive when this body quits. That God, Jesus talks about it many different times. You know, and he just told us, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe in me. We put our trust in Christ. We put our trust in what he did on that cross. Because he died on that cross to pay for our sins. And his grace has covered all our problems we've ever had and always will. His grace will be sufficient for however we are. It's going to be sufficient for us because he paid for our sins and he died for our sins. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn back to Paul's epistles and go to 1 Corinthians, Romans, and then 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and let's see what it says. First Corinthians 2:9. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear has heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Now, as it goes on, we know that we know a lot. We've learned a lot through His Word. But we just can't comprehend it. I don't think that's why there isn't a whole lot about written about heaven in the Bible. It just tells us it's there. And it's going to be a glorious place to be. Because I don't even think that human language has the words in it that would express what heaven is going to be like. I really don't think so. I think it's totally beyond our imagination. We can't even comprehend it. It says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, or the heart of man can't even comprehend what God has in store for those who love Him. The key is, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? He's the man who died on, He's the God-man who died for you and paid for your sins. He's the man that gave everything for you. And He died a horrible death. He was a final sacrifice for sin, to pay the sin debt for the whole world. For every sin that is ever committed on this world, He paid for. And all He asks you to do is believe it. And Paul preached his heart out. Our salvation for today and for is that we believe what Christ did on that cross for us. That's the gospel. We believe that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He rose from the dead. That's salvation. And as soon as you believe that, you are going to be sealed with the Holy Spirit promise. You'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit promise. And He'll live in you. God will live in you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all are one, and they're going to live in you, and they'll point you closer and closer to Him each and every day, as long as you live on this earth. And then He's in you, and He will raise you to mortal body, just like God's glorified body. How wonderful. How wonderful. Let us pray. Dear Father, I pray that everybody that heard these words that come directly from Your Word, that they would understand and to have a tremendous joy in their heart, knowing that they are believers and that they're going to be with You. It's something we can truly look forward to. And we just praise You for what You've done for us, because on our own, we had no future whatsoever. But now, because we believe the gospel, we know beyond any shadow of a doubt we're going to be in Your presence the second that this old body dies. We just praise You, Father, and I pray everybody that hears me would come to the knowledge of the gospel for their salvation. I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.